morning. Today's scripture reading will come from Psalm 119, verse 105. If you're using a Bible provided under the bench, it can be found on page 547. Again, that's Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
There ever was a book that really shed light on how to reverence and respect for God's Word. That book and chapter and verse, as we see in Psalm 119:105, would be it. The book of Psalms 119 is a great book. I don't know, I hope, that most of you have taken the time to sit down and to really read it. It is a very rich book. When you're done reading it, I am absolutely positively sure that you'll gain wisdom from it. It will enlighten you. When you think about the book of Psalms, perhaps one of the key characters that maybe comes to your mind is that character David. David is just one of several authors who penned the book of Psalms. We can certainly credit David with 73 of the Psalms, but not all 150. Asaph and the sons of Korah can also be given contributions for their efforts and validation for their efforts. Consider, if you would, the first couple verses there in the book of Psalm 119 in verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That word blessed, sound familiar to you? Remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins there, and in Matthew in chapter 5, in verses 3 through 12, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've heard that word before. You know the meaning of that word blessed? It means happy. Happy are they. Let me ask you, why is the author saying that these folks are happy? They are happy, those who are in the way, but why are they happy? They are happy because they walk in the law of the Lord. Beyond contrary belief of some, I want you to understand something. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. Not only does God want you to be happy, God has provided instruction and direction on how you can be happy. It's right here. It is all right here. As we consider the benefits of God's Word, and you can take your highlighter sometime and you sit down and you go through the book of Psalm and 119. We just see a repetitive theme at work in this book. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. You skip a few verses. Oh, how can a young man cleanse his way in verse 9? By taking heed to your word. You know, that type of language is used continuously throughout the book of Psalm 119. And Another interesting little fact is this. When you go through the book of Psalm in 119, God directly speaks about His Word in that chapter. He talks about His commandments, His testimonies, His judgments, and His precepts. Do you know how many times? 172 times. Do you know how many verses there are in Psalm 119? And you go back and you look at that, and you see that there's 176 verses. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? I think He's trying to get our attention. The passage that we are interested in particular, is there in verse 105 of Psalm 119. The author clearly declares that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Think of why he used that metaphor. Lamp and light, and equating it to God's Word throughout this chapter, Psalm 119. The author provides clues as to why he has done this. Now we'll explore those reasons in just a moment. I want you to imagine, though, for a moment, what a blessing it is for us to be able to see. What a blessing it is to be able to see things. You know, I reached the point as you go from a young man to getting older that you've got to put away vanity, and if it means you've got to wear glasses, you just wear glasses. Because I like the idea of being able to see Roger. It gets a little old squinting all the time. And running out in front of cars. Hint, hint. The time has come. You know, I heard someone say one time, boy, I tell you what, of all the disabilities in the world, I'd hate to be blind. Well, there's a lot of successful blind people. And they've managed to find their way in this world. But could you imagine living in darkness all the time? I want to ask you this. Imagine what it would be like if we had no light. If we had no light, none whatsoever. Do you realize how that would alter our lives? Daytime driving only. I mean, folks, we would all be qualified NASCAR drivers if we had no light. They have no headlight. Those are just stickers. And we would all drive like NASCAR drivers because we would have so much time in the day to get our running done that we'd be out on the streets just flying up and down. Because it's going to get dark soon. We have no light. Daytime classes. So if those of you who are on a schedule and you're trying to graduate on time, or you've got a plan to get through your classes and get your degrees and what have you, there's no nighttime classes. That's it. You know, imagine how that would alter things. I don't even think the teachers would be able to assign homework because they can't write them at nighttime. Some of you kids are like that. I can see that. Daytime jobs only. We would wake up when the rooster crows, and we would finish our jobs about the time the fox was planning his attempt to get in the hen house at night. We can only work in the daytime. You can forget pretty much second shift and third shift. There's just one shift, and it's in the daytime. Daytime sports only. That would really be a hardship for those poor folks in Chicago, because when they finally catch up the time from Wrigley Field, they got to go back again and play in the day, as they all would. Daytime worship, really? Oh, that's good. It's dark. I mean, pitch dark. This would be it. there'd be no getting together at night time to come and worship, whether it be throughout the middle part of the week or through the week, or you're planning a Bible study, I think, tomorrow night. Guys, that's canceled. Not really. Okay. But though there's no light. Now, don't get the wheels turning, Vince, because he's an engineer, and I see the wheels turning. He would try to come up with a plan to make sure we could have light. I joke with Vince. If you know Vince very well, my joke for Vince is this. If he would have been on the SS Minnow with Skipper and Gilligan, they would have gotten off that island a long time ago. But, you know, our doctors who are performing surgery got to wait till it gets light. And my goodness, I sure hope we're done with this before it gets dark. Oops! You don't want to ever hear oops from a doctor. Okay, that is not a good thing. And especially if it's getting darker, children are being born. I sure hope this is a daytime baby. You talk about really trying to, you know, fit this in our schedule to have a child. It's going to be a little difficult. You see, we take life for granted. And no wonder God says when He is talking about the power of His Word and the benefit that comes from God's Word and as it sheds light. And I just briefly want to share a few things with you this morning. Brethren, it helps us identify danger. It helps us identify the struggles, the problems that exist in our lives. Again, the passage that we had alluded to, we had read earlier, there in Psalm 119, verse 105, we just read that. But look at verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Did you catch that? Your word I have hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. You want to stop sinning? You get involved in God's Word. Know it. Learn it. Live it. We talk about patterns and we talk about habits that people create. All the bad habits that go on. Brethren, did you know that God's Word has been given to us so we can create good habits? Good habits. So we will not sin against God. The author is saying, I've taken this word and I've implanted it into my heart so that I will not sin against you. Oh, look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me. Teach me your statutes. Teach me all about your word. You know, one of the things that is risky is when there's no light. Ever attempt? I mean, you think you know your house really well. Those young parents that have little toddlers. Ever make an attempt to make a mad dash from the living room, maybe to the bathroom? And you thought you knew your environment really well until one of the kids decides to leave a very sharp toy out on the middle of the floor. And you step on it, and everybody knows that you step on it. I remember one time we had just moved into our home. There's a trailer. No jokes, please. We moved into our home. Hadn't been in it too long. I drive my wife crazy. Folks, I have lived through two house fires. And every time we leave, before we leave the house, I always ask if you turned everything off. She gets older, just like your mom, you know. going to tell you what. You live through 2 house fires, and you lose everything twice, and you'll ask that same question, too, every time you leave that. But I remember when, after the first time we lost our house, we just moved into our home, and I walked out of the bedroom, and I was going to go to the bathroom, and I'm moving down the hallway, and it's pitch dark, and I saw a doorway, and I walked into it, thinking it was the bathroom, Dale. It wasn't the bathroom. You know the thing that they put right before the bathroom, the furnace? Bam! Face first. I planted my face right in the thing. They had this little vent mark right on my face. You know, but, you know, light helps us see the danger. Listen, brother, that's what God's Word is all about, and you can read all through God's Word, and you can see that Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the first 6 verses in the Old Testament. God is telling the Israelites, here's the plan. When you leave Egyptian slavery, I've got a promised land, and I'm going to take care of you. But there's some things that you've got to do. Remember, God told him, he said, now don't make marriages with those idolaters. Because what they'll do is they'll pull your heart away from me, and you'll begin to worship their God. Then you go over and you read in the book of Judges in chapter 3 in particular. And guess what? It happened just as God said it would when they didn't listen to him. And that's just a small sample of it. Just a small sample of it. God's Word helps us identify danger. And we can stay and not stray into it, but stay away from it. Two, but it helps us remain on the right path. It helps us remain on the right path. Psalm 119, verse 1, verse 11, and also verse 133. Brother, without God's Word, it is impossible for us to know where we are going. It's impossible for us to know where we are going if we don't have light. And God is talking about, look, I've got a way. I've got a pattern of life. I've got a plan for you to live. But unless you're allowing God's Word to lead you and to direct you, you're clueless where you're going. And you think of all the examples in the Scriptures. The woman at the well, you know, whenever she was had 5 husbands, the man she was living with was not her husband. You know what Jesus was saying? Because you're not on the right path. A lot of people like that today, huh? I got a better path for you. I got a better road for you to take. The rich ruler, same thing. Thought he knew all the commandments. Thought he was keeping the commandments. He says, no, you're not. You see, you don't have things. Things have you. That's what that story was about. Things have you. Things, they are your God. No wonder Jesus told him to take what he had, sell it, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. In Acts chapter 17, you remember when the Apostle Paul went in amongst the brethren there in Berea, and he's teaching from the Old Testament. He's teaching the Word of God. And the Scriptures tell us, brethren, they opened up the Scriptures. They searched them to see what he was saying, if it were so. You know what they were basically saying? Are you going to write that? Because we don't want you taking us off the right path. There's a lot of teachers out there that will take you off the right path if you'll let them. I would encourage you, anything and everything, brother, that is spoken from God's Word, you need to check it out. Check it out. Make sure it's so. Brethren, it helps ease my fears and my concerns. Psalm 119, verses 49 through 52, a great passage. Verse 165, it's another beautiful passage. Verse 28. Let me ask you, do you have any concerns about things? Is there anything going on in your life that would concern you? Is there anything going on in your life that you wring your hand over the bow. Stressful moments. God knows all about it. And God has supplied us with something wonderful that not only alleviates our fears to folks, it eliminates our fears. Practice. Get into the habit. We talked about habits. Get into the habit of doing this. When you have a fear, if there is something that is really bothering you, my encouragement to you is to take God's Word and sit down and start reading it. Just pick it up and read it. And I guarantee you, by the time you're done reading God's Word, you're going to say, man, I feel so much better. This is how we learn favorite passages. When you're stressed and there's turmoil in your life, you got bad news from the doctor, you're concerned about a son or a daughter, you're concerned about something that's going on in your world, I want to encourage you to find passages that just build you up and camp out there. God's Word helps ease my fears. Brethren, it helps provide clarity and understanding. This old world is full of all sorts of madness. There's a lot of things that's going on that we don't understand. There's a lot of things going on in our own little world that we don't understand. Passages like Psalm 119, verse 130, and also verse 144. Brethren, we see that God's Word provides clarity. It helps us come to an understanding of what's going on. Let me ask you something. Are you struggling with your marriage? I want to tell you something. God does not want you to struggle in your marriage. God is pro-marriage. God is pro-family. Always has been. Always will be. I meet a person who says, I just can't fix this marriage. I see somebody saying, I'm not willing to open up God's Word in my heart and do what I need to do to help this. I realize there's things that's out of our control. Because it takes two. You didn't stand up there and marry yourself. It takes two. But I will say this. There's only one person you can fix, and that's you. Are you struggling with your health? God's Word provides answers for that. Are you struggling with finances? God talks about finances. You better believe He does. Seek God's guidance on that. Struggling with sin. This is where we'll wrap it up. Are you struggling with sin? God's Word provides an answer for that. It is a light. It is a lamp. Jesus tells us early on in the book of John that He's the light. There are some who will not comprehend it. There are others who will avoid it and who will run from it. Do you know why that is? Because some people just like to live in darkness. But there are others who love the light and long for the light. And you know what they do? They come to the light. That's what I want to encourage you. God wants you to be happy. But happiness that comes from the Word, not from the world. That's regret. The consequences are enormous. I want to encourage you this morning. Everything's refreshed, and sometimes we forget about it. About the recent baptism we had. Man, that is awesome. That is so cool. And God knows that there's a lot of individuals in this congregation who've been praying for those conversions to occur, who've been behind the scenes working and involved in ways that you'll never know to encourage those things to happen. But I want to encourage you right now. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the gospel message, I want to encourage you to come forward this morning, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins.